Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things right now, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. We have something really, really special here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's called the Members Community. And I want to urge you, if you haven't joined, to join. First, the show is, of course, 100% listener supported, and that's one way you can help support the show and keep us broadcasting. But what do you get? Well, you know, you just get tons and tons of stuff. If you go to my website and you click where it says join, you will be taken to an information page, several information pages, and you'll see all the stuff that's there. You can just look at the ad that's right there on the main page of the website. But for one thing, you get to watch. Now, everybody gets to watch tonight for free. We do that two or three times a month, just so you get a little bit of flavor of a little bit of what you're missing by not being a member. But it's only a really small slice of the pie. Believe me, there's a lot of stuff in that members community, including the archives, forums, chat room, a library of free ebooks, a video galaxy of videos to watch, tons and tons of stuff. So, you know, if you're not a member, you can fix that right now. Just click join and follow the links. The Alternative Universe iConference is fast approaching, folks. It's going to be on March the 3rd. And you have to have a ticket. But wow, this thing is great. I mean, really, it is. First, it's a conference. It's a real, honest-to-God conference with real, honest-to-God conference speakers, and it's live. A question and answer session after each presentation. And you don't have to pay for any travel. That's particularly expensive these days. Airlines have gone up, and they were already expensive. And, you know, gasoline, petrol is going up. No travel expenses, no hotel expenses, no meal expenses. Just sit back and enjoy. And, you know, the ticket's only $10. That's it. $10. And, you know, you get a ticket, you can invite everybody in the neighborhood to come over and watch it with you if you want to. But you do have to get a ticket to be able to watch it, but there's no limit on how many people can watch it with you. So you can make it a family affair, or you can, you know, put some steaks on the barbecue and have a little cookout. And, well, I don't know, some places around the world might be too cold for that right now. Anyway, go to my website and click that link that's about, it's an exaggeration, of course, but it's about 4 feet tall. It says Alternative Universe. It's all over the page there when you scroll down just a little bit. Click that. Get your ticket, and I'll see you at that conference. Tonight, as we begin our journey across the nighttime into the world of the strange and unexplained, it will be a journey of discovery. Really will be. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we begin our journey of discovery. You know, discovery is what, that's what this show is all about. Discovery, though, for a lot of people is kind of disturbing. Now, you're aware of that, I guess. Because, you see, discovery means several things that are really upsetting to some people's apple cart. There can be no discovery unless there's an admission that we don't know it all. If you already know it all, you won't discover anything. Discovery means you have to admit that what you already know might be wrong, or at least some of it. Discovery brings us face to face with new information that sometimes is not only going to challenge what we thought we knew, but it's going to challenge what we believe. Now, what is belief? Well, belief is, that's something that we use to fill in the blanks at the end of the data if we run out of data and still have questions. Then we fill that in with belief, or some people do. I fill it in with, I don't know. But some people fill that in with belief, and you've heard me say, there's nothing wrong with that. Unless you start thinking that what you believe is the data. But discovery brings us face to face with information that is going to challenge some of what we already think we know, and perhaps some of what we believe. Now, the reason I bring that up is because tonight I'm going to share with you some stuff that in some ways, at least parts of this, are going to be rather startling to some people. It may take longer than normal for me to share all of this, and if it does, then we will go into after hours so that you can still call with questions and comments and so forth. Because I really want you to participate in this. We've got listeners literally around this world, and it's so important for you to call with your questions. I got an email from someone that said, you know, I had this question, and this is not unique. I mean, I get these all the time. But I got one not too long ago. I had this question. I finally convinced myself to pick up the phone and call, and then I just couldn't. And I was really wanting an answer to this question. Well, there's only one way to get an answer to that question, and that is you have to pick up the phone and call. Or, you know, we also have, for those who are not in the USA and not in Canada, we have the flash message option. But if you're in the USA or Canada, you have to give us a call. All right. So I was talking with someone today who was telling me about another person that I don't really know, but sort of I do because he's mentioned that person to me before, who said today to him, did you know that UFOs are real and that our government has had contact with extraterrestrials? And I won't go into the whole conversation, but it was a whole lot of stuff like that. And this person was like just amazed, or in the UK they say gobsmacked. And this is old information, but new to this person. And this person had a lot of questions about how that impacted beliefs. So discovery is, you know, if you're not willing to know the truth, regardless of what you already think you know, and regardless of what you already think you believe, if you're not willing to know the truth, you never discover. And there are some things that we think we know that we really don't know. We think we know, but we don't. Like that old thing about, you know, There's no speed faster than the speed of light. Oh, yeah, there is. Of course there is. You know, the scientists have actually discovered a pulsar. The astrophysicists and astronomers have discovered a pulsar that's undergoing magnetic pole shift at 6 times the speed of light. Yeah, of course there's a speed faster than the speed. You know, E equals mc squared. C is the speed of light. C squared, that's the speed of light times the speed of light. If there's no speed faster than the speed of light, you can't do that. One more thing about discovery. I don't try to tell you what to think here. I present information, and I don't present that information from the standpoint of this is absolutely true and you got to buy into this, and if you don't, well, you know, you're dumb. No, I don't do that. Now, obviously, I have my perspectives, my own views, but you have yours. And yours are as valid as mine. And everybody else's views are as valid. Their opinions are as valid. Because they're, you know, you don't know what the background is from which they are coming. And from that background, that view is valid. That's why they have it. Doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean mine's true or right. But I just present the information, then ask questions, and try to find some answers, and that's what we're going to be doing here tonight. I'm going to start off with something that I can say without hesitation. I have no idea if what I'm going to be discussing and showing on our TV channel, and you should be watching, it's free. You just go to my website, click where it says Watch Free Tonight. I can say without hesitation, I don't know for sure whether it's a hoax or whether it's real. But it has taken the internet by storm. It's gone viral. And it's in our genre, and that's our policy. Our policy is when something is really making waves in our genre, we're going to take a look at it. We're going to take a few minutes and discuss it. And so we're going to do that tonight. Some of you, I know, have already seen this because you sent me the links for me to watch it. And I thank you. I think I got, I don't know, 3 or 4 suggestions in my suggestion box with the link to this video, 3 or 4 from, you know, different people. And it really has gone viral. It has to do with Roswell, New Mexico. Not the Roswell crash. Although, you know, that's really kind of why I'm throwing this in here tonight. It's part of the reason. Because the Roswell UFO crash is sort of the port of entry into our genre for so many, many, many people. And that's because there are so many books about it, so many DVDs, so many documentaries. You know, so many radio shows have been done about it. So many speakers at conferences talk about it and so forth. And so it kind of is the port of entry for a lot of people who arrive on the shores of our genre. Since it's kind of an entry port, that makes this a little bit more significant. Now, this is a video that is, as I said, I can't verify that it's not hoaxed, but it's quite interesting. And there are things about it. When I saw this video, there were things about it that made me say, you know what, that's real. And then there are things about it that made me say, eh, I don't know. I don't know. But what we're seeing, this is a video that is taken from ostensibly a car window. And there's this big UFO low to the ground, apparently over a sort of an industrial area, and it isn't far from the Roswell crash site. When you go to YouTube and watch this video, there's a soundtrack. Okay, there's audio with this, and you can hear the wind rushing, and you can hear the car. If you listen very carefully, you can hear when the car screeches to a halt because the UFO stops, hovers, and then descends behind the buildings. Now, I find it very, very interesting that some of the comments that I've read and some that I've gotten in email about this. One of the things that we hear, one of the comments that we hear a lot when we're dealing with UFOs and UFO pictures or videos, they all have, not all, but many of them have tended to be sort of blurry, right? And so the debunkers say, what in this world when everybody has a cell phone that's got a HD camera on it, you know, why can't we get better pictures? This is obviously hoaxed. So then when you get one that's pretty clear, like this one is, it's pretty clear. Well, you know, this has to be a hoax because it's so clear. Okay, so we'll just dispense with that and dismiss that. We'll just reach over and flush, folks, because that's idiocy. It is what it is. I mean, it's a video. It's pretty clear. And we can see a very, very large unidentified craft. It is not a saucer shape. It's more kind of a starship shape. Really big. I mean, there's no way I can estimate the size of that thing, but I would estimate, what, 300 feet maybe from front to back? Pretty good size. Pretty good size. One of the things that sort of made me think, all right, that is not CGI, is because you see that craft is as fuzzy, and it's not real fuzzy, but I mean the fuzziness of it matches the fuzziness of everything else in this video until he zooms in. Now when he zooms in, we pick up a little bit more detail. However, even though we pick up a little bit more detail, the resolution of that craft matches the resolution of everything else in the video. Now, am I defending this and saying that this is, in fact, a real, genuine UFO landing? No, I'm not. I don't know. I mean, there are things about it, as I say, it makes it that make me say, boy, that looks real. And there are things about it that make me sort of wonder. One of the things that makes it seem to me to be real is the audio, which we're not playing on the TV channel. But if you go to YouTube, you'll hear it. And what happens as this UFO is flying along over the industrial park, they are pacing it, and based on what I'm looking at, it looks like they're maybe going 35 miles an hour. But on that audio, when that UFO comes to a halt, I didn't notice this at first. I thought they halted at exactly the same time, and that made me suspicious. But they didn't. If you watch this carefully, you'll see that they come to a halt just after the UFO does. I mean, a split second after. And if you're listening at YouTube, if you're listening, crank up the audio and you'll hear, they're hanging, the camera man or woman is hanging out the window with the camera, and so you hear the wind rushing by, as you would. But if you have it cranked up, it's annoying because you're just hearing a lot of wind. But crank it up, and when they come to a stop, you hear the tires screech. Just barely. You can hear that. It would be pretty difficult for an amateur Now, a pro could lay that in to a video, but an amateur would have a pretty difficult time laying those sound effects in sort of perfectly like that and make it match the experience of what you're seeing. A pro could do it, but I don't know. Just the ambiance of this makes me think it's probably the real deal. But, like I say, I could be wrong. Now, there's an interesting thing that happens as this craft begins to land. It reaches a point where it's beginning to just go down behind the buildings. And if you look very carefully, you can see what looks like a circle, and there's something white in it, and you know what I thought about that? What I thought about that when I saw that is that's the U.S. Air Force logo that they put on the airplanes. You know, they put that navy blue circle with a white star in it. And I thought, that's what that is. So I took the picture and compared it. I compared it with an actual logo that the U.S. Air Force uses on the airplanes, where we have the navy blue circle and the white star. And I lined them up side by side and got some pretty interesting results. Now, on the TV channel, what you're seeing is you are seeing a column of three photographs on the left. That is from that UFO that we're looking at in the video. And on the right, we're looking at that airplane. We're looking at that circle with the star in it that is definitely a U.S. airplane. So let me explain what I've done here, and let me point out the differences. All right, first of all, the top picture on both sides is untouched. Okay, so I just cut out that dark circle with the white spot in it off of the UFO, and I cut out the U.S. Air Force logo off of the airplane, and they're side by side, untouched. In the next picture, what I've attempted to do is make them as close to the same color as possible. Now we have a break taking over, and so we'll step away and we'll be back right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
All right, we're talking about the photographic comparisons. Let's go back to that, and let me quickly get through this and get on to some more stuff that's going to... It's a little bit high-powered stuff, and it may take us a while to get through it. But what we've done here is I've taken the raw photographs, so it's the colors and the first photograph on each side, the UFO and the jet. That's just the color it is in the pictures, the original pictures that I put up on the screen. In the next picture down, I've colorized both of them to try and make their colors match as closely as possible so we could compare. And then in the third photograph, I've embossed them. And what we can see is that on the UFO, it's raised, and it's like a hatch of some kind. And then over on the jet wing, that star is depressed. And so, you know, it just doesn't, I don't know, that doesn't prove anything, but it just, they don't match up. in their response to that little bit of photo processing that I did. Some of you that are like experts with Photoshop, maybe you could do some more with that and come up with some answer. But my determination based on that is that's not the U.S. Air Force star in a navy blue circle. I don't know what it is, but I don't think that's what it is. However, as I say, some of you are real experts with Photoshop, so dig into that, and maybe you'll come up with some different results. Maybe you'll come up with some questions that we haven't even thought to ask about this. So I don't know if this video is a real UFO landing or not. If it's real, this is one of the most significant videos that we have ever seen. If it's not real, it's a really good hoax if it's not real. But I would applaud them if, I mean, I'd scorn them for hoaxing, but if they hoaxed it, I'll applaud their abilities because they made that resolution match between the UFO and everything else around it. And that's not real easy to do. Like I say, pros can probably do it, but that's not something amateurs would be able to do, I don't think. All right, now into the fray of what's really going on out there around us. I told you at the beginning of all this about a conversation I had today with someone who had a conversation with someone who was just sort of waking up to all of this stuff about UFOs and extraterrestrials and our government's involvement with them and so forth, and just beginning to sort of be conscious about all of this. And so it's all new to that person, and it really challenged that person's beliefs, particularly religious beliefs. However, I will say this, that person was at least open-minded enough to discover. And discovery does challenge the things we thought we knew and sometimes things we believe, often things we believe. So, you have all heard that someone else is on our moon. On this show and on other shows, you've heard guests talk about that there are bases, alien bases, on the moon, and that there are perhaps alien bases on Mars. You have heard guests talk about the idea that there are U.S. bases on the moon and Mars. And, you know, these things have been rumors, but no real hard evidence, right? We also, thanks to Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project, we heard information about how, from the inside, about how NASA airbrushes stuff out of pictures. And we've heard the testimonies. You know, the one fellow who said, you know, he was looking at film and there were buildings, there were bases, there were towers, there were domes, there, you know. And but these things get airbrushed out before the pictures get released to us. Before, and look, again, I know that in our audience we have a lot of people who think we did not go to the moon. And that's okay. But for the sake of this discussion, for the sake of shorthand, I'm not trying to prove we went to the moon with manned missions, but for the sake of it, let's talk about the manned missions to the moon, because before they did that, before Apollo 11 flew, NASA sent 5 orbiters in 1 year. Did you know that? Do you remember that? They were called Lunar Orbiter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They sent between 1966 and 1967. They sent five of them up there. And ostensibly, they were taking photographs to try to provide NASA with the information they needed to pick the right spot to land, or the best spot to land, Apollo 11. Naturally, you need good pictures for that, right? Well, from 1966 to 1967, they were sending this steady stream of orbiters up. As I say, Lunar Orbiter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And, you know, I've always wondered, is it possible to find any of these photographs that have not been retouched? See, when we start talking about the moon and stuff that's on the moon, we almost always are dealing with Apollo photographs or later. What about the photographs before Apollo got there? What did NASA know before they even got there about what was on the moon? Well, with a little help from a friend, I've been able to snag some photographs for you this evening, and let's dive in. And this one is from Lunar Orbiter 2 in 1966. Now, I have the link up on the screen, and you know, if you copy that down and follow that link, it'll take you to the photograph. What you're going to discover is that what I have up on the screen now is a very small portion of the photograph it's going to take you to. It takes you to a big photograph. This is in the upper right-hand corner of the photograph at that link. Now, when you look at this, at, you know, first blush, this doesn't appear really to be anything super significant here. And maybe it's not. And this is not really a high-resolution photograph. But we can see some stuff that looks a little bit interesting. And so I decided, well, let's zoom in on some of that stuff. So let me describe for our listening audience what we have here. We have a moonscape. On the right side, not quite at the horizon, but on the right side, it looks like a big outcropping of rock. Just a big hill of, looks like pretty solid rock. On the left, we have what looks like probably the same, you know, a hill of rock. And it's all white. The one on the right is kind of gray. The one on the left is white. Between those two, there's a stretch of land, and there's some junk in that stretch of land. I don't know, a pile of rocks or something. So I decided to just take a look and see what might be possible to see here. So let's do that. In that land between the two, we can, when we zoom in on it, it's a little blurry, but we can see that there's shape to this, there's geometric shape, and it does not appear that this is geological. This appears to be something somebody built. Frankly, on the left side, it looks like a saucer, a flying saucer, perched on some legs, landing gear. Now, I don't know that that's what it is, but that's what it looks like. Can't really tell what is the thing right in the middle. And on the right, well, it looks like a building. Looks like it's got windows, and, you know, it's rectilinear, it's rectangular in shape, and we're looking at it not from the top down, but isn't it interesting, folks, that we're looking at this as if we were in an airplane flying at very low altitude and flying right up on this thing? That's what it looks like. All right, let's take a look at the white object on the left. The white object on the left. Wow, now that's weird. I don't know. Think of it this way, folks. Have you ever seen an arrowhead, you know, like an American Indian arrowhead or perhaps a Celtic arrowhead? And you know how it's shaped. So that, you know, you have a point at one end, then it, as you move back from the point, it gets broader and broader and broader, and then all of a sudden it dips in. It has like a waist. And then a little extension, narrow extension at the back. And that little narrow extension at the back is what goes into the shaft and gets, that's how the shaft holds the arrowhead. Now think of that arrowhead as being turned up on its edge so that the point is to your right and the little shaft, or I mean the little narrow neck, is at the back. To the left. And you've got it standing up on its edge. Now, bury this arrowhead about halfway up in soil so that only half of it is now extending up above the soil. That's what this sort of looks like. However, on the back end of the arrow, on that little narrow neck that fits into the arrow shaft, on that little back part, we can see it's not flat, but it is round. It's quite large. This whole structure is quite large. It's something that you could climb up on. And it's large. But at the very butt end of the arrow, it's round, like a tube, only it's not hollow like a tube. And it's got, I can see, five orbs, bulbs. Looks manufactured. This is going to get deeper, and this is going to get hairier before we get out of here. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this stuff on the moon, and these are pictures. These are NASA pictures. This is on a website for researchers, but I put the link up there on the screen, so I hope you copied it down. Let me just put that up there again. You need to copy that down. That is that link is like 4 miles long, but anyway, copy that down and. I'll put that back up there sometime during the show. But you can go check it. You can see. I'm not making this up. This is a NASA photograph. And it's got some really, really strange stuff. Now, we were talking about this thing that's shaped kind of like an arrow that's half buried in the soil. But it's huge. I mean, it's really big. I'd have no way of knowing exactly how big it is, but we can see from the context shot how it relates to everything else there. I mean, it's big. It is big. All right, now, in that context shot, we've looked at this, what I'm calling an arrow, because it's kind of shaped that way, and it's got a really weird butt end on it, because... it's got, well, maybe rocket nozzles? The kind of looks like orbs or globes or maybe rocket nozzles. sticking out. Okay? But if you let your eye move from that arrow back to the right, you go across that little open stretch that has that junk in it where I said, you know, that kind of sort of looks like there might be a flying disc there and it's parked there on some legs. That would be the first thing we see. But keep moving to the right and you get to that big outcropping of rock that's all the way over there to the right, and let's zoom in on that and see what we get. Oh my, that looks like buildings. Oh well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. There's the link still up there, and it is positioned a little bit better where you can read it. So, get that copied down. And as I say, I'll show that again. Buildings. Now, again, these are not absolutely clear photographs, not near as clear as what's coming up. But even here, we can see that doesn't look like geology did that. That looks like buildings up there. And as I said, if you click this link, you're going to get a really big picture. And if you'll look all over that picture, you'll find a lot of other stuff. I just didn't capture all of it to talk about all of it. I wanted to start with this series of photographs. I wanted to start with this upper right corner of this one photograph. Because I want you to be able to see and experience the fact that NASA had photographs that were clear enough for them to see something was going on the moon. They had photographs clear enough for them to see what you're seeing. You are seeing what they saw, except they probably, I am betting, they probably have even better photographs. But this is a NASA photograph. And again, this is not one that was just thrown out there on the front pages of the news, but it is at a website used for astronomical researchers. They use this site. The USRA, I think, is the U.S. Research Association or something like that, but that's in the link, USRA. And I wanted you to get a flavor of what NASA knew. Now, there are a lot of photographs at that site, and you can go one by one. Every single one of those five lunar orbiters, their photographs are there at that site. Maybe not all their photographs, but their photographs are there at that site. So you can click on Lunar Orbiter 1 and look at the photographs from that one. And each one of these was mapping a different part of the moon. Each one of these orbiters was taking pictures of a different stripe of the moon. NASA's looking for landing sites. Well, I think NASA would look at this and say, well, you know what, we're not real sure who's there, but it probably would not be smart for us to land in their front yard. So they didn't choose this as a landing site. Lunar Orbiter 2 has some pretty interesting pictures, and that set of pictures that we just looked at, all that is from one photograph. That's just from one photograph that Lunar Orbiter 2 took. In 1966, keep that in mind. This is 1966. Now, Lunar Orbiter 3. Well, Lunar Orbiter 3, each of these satellites had improved cameras. And remember, all five of these were sent off to the moon and began orbiting the moon from 1966 to 1967. And so it was a very busy time for NASA. But each one of them had better photographs, as you're about to see if you're watching the show tonight, because this next picture is from Lunar Orbiter 3. Can I ask you, if you're watching the show, as soon as that came up on your screen, what did your mind tell you? Immediately when you saw this, what did you say? I showed it to one person who said, "Oh my God." What did your mind say? What we are looking at is just a portion of one photograph. The link to that photograph is on your screen. It's just a portion of one photograph. It's a huge photograph. And what we're looking at is essentially, I'm going to describe exactly what it looks like. I'm not going to say that that's exactly what it is, but this is what it looks like. And this is clear. This is a good photograph. It looks like a peninsula surrounded by a river. The river comes down one side, curves around the front of it, and goes back up the other side. And on that peninsula is a city. And that city is built essentially in a circle. We're going to look at parts of this. Because as we look at parts of this, I think you might have an "oh my God" moment before we're through. Again, this is what NASA knew, and this didn't get airbrushed out. This is what they knew before Apollo 11 landed on the moon. So, let's just take a look at some of the parts. This is what you're seeing is just a part, a small part of a very large picture. But let's take a look at part of the part. I have marked some things to notice. The red line that you're looking at marks the water flow, if that's water. It marks the water flow around this city. The red line outlines where the water is flowing. Now, what I want you to do is let your eye follow the red line from the left side to the right side, and you can see, let's assume it's water, you can see one waterfall. That's where the red line points upward and then comes back down. You see that? The big point upward and back down, there's the first waterfall. It levels out just a little bit, and there's the next waterfall. Keep moving to your right, and it's moving downhill. And there's a third waterfall. And below that waterfall, it looks like spray or splash coming back up as the water's hitting the bottom down there. You ain't seen nothing yet. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. I'm not joking when I tell you I don't think you can catch up. You'll have to catch this in the archives or watch this show as the latest show in our members community. Now, we were talking about this photograph from NASA. This is a NASA photograph, and we were talking about the flow of the water. And if you get up close to your screen, you can see what I'm talking about. I have the flow of the water marked, and I'm calling it water. I don't know that it's water. It's a flow of something, though, apparently. There are several, we'll call it water, so there are several waterfalls. If you follow that red line from the left to the right, you see where it peaks, and look at what happens to that water behind it. Okay? Now, debunkers, little notice to you, don't waste your time focusing on that I said it was water. I mean, how asinine can you get? I don't know what else to call it. What do you want me to call it? Beer? Okay. The first beer fall. You see that? And then it plateaus out a little bit, and there's another little beer fall. And then it rushes downward at an angle, and there's another little peak. And you can see the beer fall behind it, and then spray coming up. Now, we're going to focus in on that in just a moment. But let's take a look at what I have marked in green. I have a green bracket. That's an area that we're going to zoom in on. And then I have a green arrow pointing to something up there at the top of the picture. And that's something we're going to zoom in on as well. Now, take a look, notice, if you will, take a look at what the bottom of this picture looks like. Look down at the bottom. Now, when you go to that link and you look at the whole thing, you're going to be astounded. Like I said, when I first put this picture up, when it first came up on the screen, I bet you a sizable number of our audience had an oh my God moment, because that is on the moon, and that was photographed in 1967. Those other photographs we looked at were from 1966. This is 1967, February 1967, Lunar Orbiter 3, and it's much, much clearer, much, much clearer. All right, so let's zoom in a little bit. Let's see what we get. All right, this is that green bracketed area. Okay, let me back up and let you see where the green bracket is. You see where the green bracket is. Okay, here it is, zoomed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see the spray coming back up that I was talking about? This looks like an engineered canal. Look at the structure on both sides of it. This doesn't look like just a river. It's an engineered canal rushing liquid of some kind that's spraying back into the air. Look at I've got a zoom box with an arrow pointed at something. Look at that. That's some kind of a building or machinery sitting there right on the top of this canal wall, right at the end of where this this water is spraying back up, or this beer, or who knows, maybe it's Coca-Cola. But where the spray is coming back up, right there, there's some kind of building or machinery sitting right there. Now, look across the canal at the other bank over there. What do you see over there? Well, I'm not going to say precisely what it is, but I can tell you that precisely it looks like buildings. This is what NASA knew before Apollo 11 took off. NASA knew about places like this. This is not the only one. Apparently, there are places like this all over the moon. This is what they are not talking about. They just don't mention it. They don't talk about it. They tell you they're still looking for signs of life. What do you call this? Does this prove that there are people living there? No, that could all be abandoned. Does that look like geology to you? Does that look like geology? That's engineering. As a matter of fact, over there where I have the green arrow pointed now, and you're seeing I have a zoom, that where that green arrow is, I have a zoom box so that you can see, zoomed in, what's sitting there. And it's either building, some type of building or facility or big machinery sitting there. Now, come to your left from there and follow the top of that canal wall. Follow it backward. Now, when you get just past where the corner, the top corner of the zoom box is, okay, that's an easier way to do it. Just take the top left corner of the zoomed box. Go straight up to the edge of the canal. When you get there, move to your left just ever so slightly, and there's three domes. And then there's some kind of structure that goes across the canal, and there's some kind of structure on the other wall of the canal. It's darker over there, and you can see pillars or gates or grates over there. You know, this is some kind of engineering. That's what it looks like. All right, let's take a look at something else. This is where that green arrow was, okay? The green arrow in the unzoomed picture. All right, so let's take a look at that green arrow at that area. Folks, that is either a bridge or a pipeline, and it's long. That is very long. And it goes from one side of the river to the other. It's very, very, very visible. I'm going back to the unzoomed picture, and you can see it up there. You see it? It's very visible. This does not look like geology. This looks like engineering. Now, if you will look on, I'm going to call that a bridge. I don't know that it's a bridge. That could be a pipeline. But if you will follow that to from right to left, and you see when it reaches the left bank of the river, it then moves at an angle downward. You see that? Okay, well, don't move at an angle downward. Move at an angle slightly up and to the left, and there's a building or facility back there on the bank. You see that? These are photographs taken in 1967. So, why is any of this important? Well, it's important because of the fact that this is what NASA knew. NASA had these photographs, and probably better. NASA probably has photographs that can look in the windows of some of these structures. This looks like a city. And it doesn't just look like a city. I'm looking at buildings. I'm looking at engineering. And when we look at the unzoomed total big picture, you got to go to that link to do it. It looks like a big, it's not that this thing in the circle is just the hub of activity all out through the landscape around it. It looks like city. I don't know what else to call it. It looks like city. What's appearing on your screen now is actually another part of that big, big picture. If we go back to the original photograph that I showed you, now what I'm about to show you is all the way to the right and off of your screen. You'll have to go get the big picture to see this, okay? But here it is. Does that look like a city to you? Look carefully. Look closely. I can see steam coming up from buildings. I can see buildings on both sides of this chasm, this river. And I see steam coming up from some of those buildings. I see lots of buildings here. What do you see? Now, you might say, well, those are not buildings. Well, look, I'm using shorthand. They look like buildings to me, so that's what I'm going to call them. Okay? That's what they look like to me. So, what does it look like to you? This looks to me like a big city. Did NASA decide to land here? No, they did not. Not any of the Apollo landings landed anywhere near stuff like this. I think what we just looked at, I think that's the kind of stuff that you heard about in the Disclosure Project, where they said, I saw buildings, I saw structures, I saw big facilities, and they airbrushed them out. I think you just got a glimpse of some of that. Now, those pictures were taken in the ones we've just looked at, those were taken 1966 and 1967. And you saw the big improvement. Let me go back to the picture of 1966. This picture from 1966 and this picture from 1967. Look at the improvement in quality. You see that? And that's just a few months apart. I think that by 1969, they had crystal clear images. I guarantee you right now they have crystal clear images of everything on the moon. Guarantee you. You and I don't get to see them. They don't put those out for us. Nevertheless, they have them. But even with these that are sort of medium resolution, these are pretty crystal clear. But the really high-res stuff, we're probably never going to see it. But NASA knew about these things. And, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about NASA. I'm just trying to say, you know, let your mind wake up here. NASA's not looking for signs of life. They have found it. And they found it a long time ago. On the moon, in particular, 1966, 1967, they found signs of life. Now, I don't know if that means that it's life that's still living there. I don't know if that's the case. But somebody built that stuff. Somebody built that bridge. Somebody built that power plant or whatever that is at the bottom of that waterfall or beer fall or coke fall, whatever it is. Somebody built that canal. Somebody built that city. Now, it may not be inhabited now. It could be that all those folks have left. Maybe they died out. Or it may be inhabited now. I don't know. But that's signs of life. So when NASA says, well, if we ever see any signs of life out there, we're going to be the most excited people ever, and we're going to be shouting it from the rooftops. What a crock. There it is. That's their picture. And there are more. You go over there and look at that website. There are more. You know, you click on one of those links that I put up on the screen, and this giant picture opens up in your computer. And you have to scroll around and move around to look at the various parts of this big, big picture. And you'll see all kinds of stuff in just like one picture. Now, some of the pictures over there, you know, I didn't see anything. some of them, you know, it's just some craters and, you know, moon stuff. Obviously, some of them have some spectacular scenes in them because I've just shown you a couple of them. And those are very, what I've shown you are very small parts of the bigger picture that's available at that link. The point is, when they say, if we ever find any signs of life, we're going to shout it from the rooftops. That's a crock. They found it, and they clamped their jaws closed. They didn't shout it to anybody. You just saw their picture. What did you think? What did you say? When you saw that, what did your mind say? I bet you better than 90% of the people who are watching the show, I bet you more than 90% immediately had an oh my God moment. Because that is on the moon. Now, from 1966 to 1967, the camera quality, the picture quality, got a lot better, didn't it? 1967 to 2012, what do you think? Absolutely crystal clear pictures now, and we're not seeing them. Why? Because they're not going to shout it from the rooftop, folks. They're doing everything they can to keep the lid on this information. They're doing everything they can to keep you from seeing, to keep you from knowing, to keep you from realizing that for all of this time, they've known we're not alone. They've known it. They know it now. They knew it then. They knew it before then. They've known it. And they're not going to shout it from the housetops. You know, they may be having lunch with extraterrestrials on a frequent basis up on the space station, and I'm being facetious, but maybe not. It could be happening. They may be having lunch with extraterrestrials on a frequent basis up there, face-to-face contact. You're never going to know it. They aren't going to tell you. And so what's the purpose of what we're looking at here tonight? Well, the purpose of what we're looking at is to discover, first, to discover what's there. That, to discover that these photographs did not all get destroyed. They are there, and they may not be now that I've done this show. They may not be there much longer, so you better go look. You better go download, okay? So the photographs exist. We've all heard about photographs like this. Well, you're looking at them. They exist. We're also discovering tonight that the photographs tell us we got neighbors right next door. Now, when I say we've got neighbors, again, I don't know if they're actually still living there. I would suspect they are. But certainly if they're not, the ruins of them having been there are on photographs. They're right next door. On the moon. You don't have to go 47 trillion light years to find, you know, some habitable planet where maybe there might could be a civilization of extraterrestrials, and maybe they might be a billion years ahead of us technologically, and maybe they might be coming here. Let me tell you something. If that moon is still inhabited, if there are still people living there, they're coming here. I bet you they're coming here. We're also discovering that NASA knew this. That's NASA's pictures. That was NASA's satellites around the moon in 1966 and 1967. It was NASA's satellites taking those pictures that they kept back from you. It was NASA's satellites that took those pictures that just gave you an oh my God moment, and you just discovered NASA didn't shout it from the housetop, did they? You just discovered that. You just discovered that when they say they would shout it from the housetop, they're lying. They would not, they will not, they have not, and they're not, it's never going to change. But I guess that's a moot point now because they're not going back to the moon or Mars or any other planets. But they do have a spacecraft that's going to take them faster and farther to God knows where. I guess not going to any planets. NASA knew this. Did they tell you? What we have suspected, what we've heard rumored, you have tonight seen with your eyes. What you have heard rumored, people said, well, it's only crackpots that say stuff like, you know, that there's ruins on the moon. Only crackpots say that. Well, then NASA's the crackpot. It's their picture. And they got a bunch of them over there at that site. Go look and download as many as you can, as you possibly can, before they disappear. Because after doing this show, I've seen that happen before. I do a show on something like this, and then it all disappears. So you better hit that link while you can. All right. It's important to discover, folks. There are things about this picture that we can't say definitively. I cannot tell you definitively that that's water coursing around that channel and that is spraying back up into the air as it comes off of the fall. I can't tell you definitively that that's water. I can tell you that's what it looks like. I can tell you that whatever it is there. And it is coursing, and it is going down those falls, and it is splashing back up. It's in the picture. I can tell you definitively a few things, and if more things, I can't. I can't. What is that facility at the end of the last waterfall there? Is that a power station? I don't know what that is. I can't tell you definitively what that is. But, you know, I can definitively tell you that it is there. Let's see if I can get the right picture up. I don't know what that is. I don't know what its function is. But I can tell you definitively it's there. And that, folks, is not geology. I don't think it is. What does your mind tell you? You've got eyes. What does your mind tell you? I don't think that's geology. That is engineering. That's some kind of machinery or facility sitting there. And if it's machinery, it's big machinery sitting there right at the end of the last waterfall. If that's water. Whatever it is, this is sitting right at the end of the last fall. All right, we're going to step away for a break and come back. I'm going to blow your other sock off.
United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I promised you I was going to blow your other sock off. Before I blow that other sock off, let's talk just a moment about why is this important? Why is this even important at all? Well, it's important, folks, not to make you hate NASA. I don't hate NASA. I like NASA. I mean, you know, I the stuff they've been up to lately, I don't like. This new direction they're taking is complete nonsense, in my opinion. But this isn't designed to, or intended to make you hate NASA, but to enlighten you to the fact that if you're believing their storyline, you're a mushroom. If you're believing everything that comes out of a NASA mouth, you're a mushroom. Just because it has a PhD in front of, or at the end of its name, doesn't mean it's telling you the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Just because it comes out of NASA, that doesn't mean that you need to believe everything they tell you. They tell you a lot of things that are absolute bogus cover stories. Their own photograph just blew the lid off of one of their cover stories about the moon. Their own photographs blew the lid off of their story about, well, if we ever see any signs of life out there, we're going to be shouting it from the rooftops. Okay, I'm listening, NASA. I didn't hear it in 1966. I didn't hear it in 1967. I haven't heard it since then, and you had the evidence. So the point is to discover, to be enlightened to the fact that just because it comes out of a NASA mouth doesn't mean you need to believe it. Look for the evidence. The evidence says what the evidence says. Forget about what the talking heads say. The evidence says what the evidence says. Unlike NASA, the Chinese space program is a little bit more open about things. I'm not going to say that that everything is just coming up roses over at the Chinese Space Agency. I'm sure there are things that they keep to themselves. There are some cards they hold close to their vests. However, there are things that they're telling us. You know, they've got their second satellite around the moon now. I think it's pronounced Chang'e 2. It's mapping. And it's completed its mapping mission. And very exuberantly, the Chinese Space Agency released these high-definition photographs of the whole moon. The map of the moon. I don't know, it was last week or maybe a week before. And, you know, I haven't seen in any of the photographs yet from China evidence of airbrushing, but boy, have I ever seen it in NASA pictures. So in some ways, the Chinese are a bit more into openness about their information. They just apparently don't feel the need to cover up and make things secret about what's on the moon. And in their pictures was an amazing picture. An amazing picture of a facility on the moon. Now, I could not begin to tell you what this thing is. I can tell you that it is gigantic, whatever it is. It looks, you know, I don't know. It looks like on one end, the end closest to us, it looks like kind of the barrel of a gun. But it's big. I mean, you could drive a semi-truck into it. The inside of that is apparently smooth and round. But the outside of it, as you're going to see when we zoom in a little bit, is hexagonal or octagonal. And it goes right up into the side of a big slab of, looks like stone. I don't know. It could be steel or some other kind of material. But it looks like stone. Big slab of stone that is kind of notched on the top. There's some sort of machinery down there. We're going to take a look at that. But look at that big slab of stone that's notched on the top. It is perched right above the opening between two big rectangular buildings. You see that? There's a lot of stuff in this picture. Lots of stuff. Now, sometimes if we put just a little color to it, this is a black and white, and sometimes if we put just a little bit of color to it, our eyes see a little bit more definition and depth. So let me give you a chance to look at it that way. All right, now, let's take a close-up and take a look at this structure. Folks, I don't know any other thing that looks like except like the barrel of a gun, but it's got, on the outside, it's not round. It's round on the inside. On the outside, there are flat surfaces, and so it is octagonal or hexagonal. And if you look very closely, you will see that there's some kind of sprocket gears visible in this machinery, whatever this machinery is. You will see I've outlined in yellow the notched slab of stone or steel or some other alloy. I don't know what it's made of. I've outlined it so that you can see where it sits. And I've outlined these two buildings that support it. And it sits right above the gap between those two buildings. All right, now, I want to go back to the unzoomed photograph. You can see where this big building of machinery is on the left. Now let your eye follow to the center of this photograph and you see what looks like some kind of complex there. So let's go over there and take a look. I've drawn two circles and I've placed an arrow on the picture. Now in the first circle we can see buildings and they look sort of modern, aerodynamic, kind of sweeping and not just squared off. To the right of them is a large staircase. That's what it looks like. And it ascends from ground level up to a platform. And sitting on that platform is a ziggurat. Or that's what it looks like. Now, these are Chinese photographs, and these are recent. This is not from the 1960s. These have just been recently released from their recent Chang'e 2 satellite mission. What you're looking at here is I just zoomed in more so you can see the steps a little bit better and see why I'm calling them steps. You know, these may not actually be steps that someone walks up and down, but because I can't tell what the size is here. They may be way too big for somebody to step from one step up to the next. I don't know. And there's really no way for us to know. But this photograph was taken by the Chang'e 2 satellite. Whenever you look, well, that's the wrong picture. Whenever you look at this satellite photograph, is there anything in your mind that can look at that and say, that's just natural geology there? Honest to God now. No crap, no kidding around. Is there anybody in the audience that can look at that and say that is natural geology? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a Chinese wedding candle. I'll tell you something else that's not. I don't think that's natural geology. That's machinery. And we can even see the gears in the machinery. Get where you can see your screen well. If you have to get up close to it, get up close to it. You can see a wheel with partially exposed, and it's got like sprockets, like gears on it. And somehow, whatever that machinery is, that's related to that machinery. So you've had a couple of oh my God moments tonight. That's on the moon, folks. That's setting up there right now. Chang'e 2 just photographed that not very long ago because, well, they had to have time to get the photographs and process them and piece them together like a giant jigsaw puzzle and put the moon together. But they, I mean, this is an ongoing and recently completed part of their mission. And so, I mean, this is as quick as they could get it to you. That's setting up there right now. This is current stuff. Now, see, I told you right at the start of the show, I told you right at the beginning of the show, discovery can be disturbing for some people. There are people that I have met, and you have too, who walk around saying things like, well, you know, I think anybody that thinks there's aliens out there, they're just deceived by the devil. Ain't nothing out there, but there's demons. Well, demons must build machines then. Big ones. I've heard people say, if you think that there are extraterrestrials out there, you know, you're just a little bit nuts. Well, I might be a little bit nuts, but if you laugh at me for looking at evidence and saying, well, there it is, there's the evidence, and you laugh at that, I might be a little nuts, but you're a little stupid. This stuff's there. This is, okay, listen carefully. This is not a theory. This stuff's there. You've just seen the photographs. NASA knew it was there in 66, maybe before. 1966, 1967. They're getting all these photographs back. They knew this stuff was up there. Now the Chinese have come along. NASA shut up about it, clamped down on it, and said, we'll shout it from the housetops. They lied. Japanese did not promise to shout it from the housetops, but they did it. Japanese, I'm sorry, Chinese. The Chinese didn't promise to shout it, but they did it. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking about the evidence, folks, discovery evidence, evidence that causes us to realize that some of the things we thought we knew, we don't know. We didn't know. We were tricked. Some of the things that some of you believe may have just been challenged by some of this oh my God, evidence. Well, the evidence is the evidence. And, one of the things that Albert Einstein said is that too often in science, scientists forget that the test, the supreme test of any theory is human experience. Well, we have human experience here. Humans built the satellites, humans built the rockets, humans sent them to the moon, humans guided them on their way. Those satellites did what the humans had programmed them to do and took pictures of what was sitting there on the moon. And they sent those back to Earth, and humans processed them. And now you, humans, are either seeing that because you're watching the show, or you're listening and hearing me describe it. And so you're having a human experience that perhaps doesn't match your personal theories about how things are, but they are what they are, whether it matches what you thought or not. So the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. I want to know if any of this challenges what you thought. I want to know what you think about what you've seen. And I'd like to hear from you how this impacts you. Now, we have new listeners all the time. We've got new listeners who are listening for the first time tonight. Well, this is a great opportunity for you to join the conversation. It's a great opportunity for us to hear from you, a fresh voice, what you think about all of this. 623-444-5889, or if you live outside of the USA or you live outside of Canada, we know that that international call can be expensive. And so for you, we have another option. You can go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. And right above the picture is a link that says Flash Message. You can communicate with me that way. But you must be outside the USA or outside of Canada. Okay? If you're in the USA or Canada, use the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hang on, caller. Let me get this phone system up here. There we go. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe, Texas.
Hello, John.
Just wanted to make a comment, and has to do with surface expressions of geology.
Okay.
On the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Parallel lines and right angles are not natural.
Okay. All right.
And I think it's perfectly clear that you can see parallel lines and right angles.
Yeah,
that's
you can.
That's all I wanted to say. It's not natural.
It's not natural. So let me ask you something. When I zoomed in on this, I called it water, but I mean, who knows what it is. It might be water. When I zoomed in on that so that people could see where it's going down and then splashing, does it look like that to you?
Oh, that might be related to tricks of light. You know, I mean, I think that could be something different.
What do you think about the facility or the machinery sitting there at the end of all of that?
Well, that's just my opinion. You know, I mean.
No, I'm asking, what do you think? No, I'm asking, what do you think about that machinery or that facility that I have zoomed in on? Does that look natural at all to you?
That doesn't look natural, but I don't think it looks like, you know, a flood or anything.
No, I'm not talking about the water. I'm talking about the facility.
Oh, well, that doesn't look natural.
Yeah.
And any time you see right angles and parallel lines, it ought to make you question what, you know, you're being told about it.
So let me ask you this, John. They said they would shout it from the housetops. They've had this since this particular picture they've had since 1967. Did you hear them shout it from the housetop?
No, they're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They want mushrooms.
They got them. They got lots of them out there.
Yeah. Oh, they're growing billions of them.
Yeah, that's true. John, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Talk to you later. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Good night.
Good night. All right, what about you? What do you think about this? We've got first-time listeners tonight. We want to hear from you. Now, if we run out of time, we'll go into overtime. We'll go into after hours. But and I'll just say that now for our affiliate stations. If you want to stay with us, you can, but we understand if you have to go. But we want everybody to have the opportunity to call in and express what's on their mind about this stuff, and that includes you. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
It kind of adds new meaning to that phrase, one of the guys on the moon said they don't want us here anymore.
Yeah, in a way, I mean, when you hear they told us to leave and not come back, it becomes a little more believable when you can see buildings.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you to do me a favor.
All right.
Go back to that first picture from Orbiter 2 for a minute.
From 2. The first picture from 2. Okay. Let me find it. I got bunches of pictures here. All right.
Bring that up. Now, I live in Wyoming, and I'm used to seeing ranch houses.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit below left of center, that looks like a ranch house to me.
Left of center.
And down a little bit.
I guess my eye isn't seeing it. Let me zoom in and see if I see it. Oh, I see where you're talking about, I guess. Yeah.
No.
No? Not that?
No, it would be just about straight down from that.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of facing at an angle.
Yeah. Now go back to the one you had of the arrowhead, the zoom in.
Okay. We're waiting.
Now, that bright spot off to the side of the base of that tail end of it,
mm-hmm.
Would that be a light?
I don't think so. When you go to this site and you click the link and
the site's down.
The site's down?
Yeah.
How come I'm not surprised?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I warned everybody it could happen. Look, no, there are a whole bunch of these white dots in a regular block pattern all over the picture. They're markers.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's what that's going to be.
But that, if you go back to the zoom out, the reference picture,
mm-hmm.
That part of it looks to me like a ranching community.
Yeah, it might be. Kind of has that appearance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what they raise there.
I don't know, but do that big smoky thing that comes out of the top of that thing?
Okay, look, hang on. We're out of time. We're going to after hours. All right? So here's how this will work, folks. We're going to go to after hours. So I have to sign out of here, just like normal. And then we'll turn off the video stream for about 10 seconds and turn it back on. We'll be right back. My friends call me Steeleye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.